You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora e te whanau, you're tuned into BFM Breakfast. This is Grayson Gilmore with the beautiful title track from his new album Holding Patterns. Wonderful atmospheric, almost cloud of sound here. We've got Grayson on the line. Kia ora, how are you this morning?
Morning, Rachel. I'm great. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to speak with you. Very excitingly, your first full length in 6 years. You must be feeling pretty relieved to have it out there.
Yeah, definitely. I won't lie, I felt like I've had some kind of imposter syndrome for the last year or so while I've kind of waited for it all to come together. But now that I'm like sharing music and talking about performing again, it's like, this is what I do. I'm still me.
Yeah.
So a big relief to put out another record for sure.
That feels like, I think, a constant struggle that artists have is if you're not currently talking about something you're making, or if you're not currently, you know, creating something, are you still an artist? And of course you are, but I think that imposter syndrome is probably widely felt by people in the same profession, Grayson.
Oh, totally. And I think maybe it's almost like amplified by, I mean, maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but most of what I see online is like other musicians being musicians. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, if everyone else is, why aren't I? And then I had this like false idea that like the entire world are just like really active musicians releasing stuff every day.
Yeah, it doesn't help with that strange feeling, eh? But this is a beautiful record, and it feels a very worth the wait album for fans of your music. I am intrigued by this track as the title track for the album, because I do think it sets the mood for this piece. What, if you had to sort of encapsulate what Holding Patterns is about for you, Grayson, what does it mean?
As an album, it is, I guess, really reflective of the last few years of my life, where I've had quite a big change. I became a parent during the pandemic. Mm. And so, I mean, that was always going to sort of be a huge shift regardless, but kind of doing it in this climate where it felt like, you know, a lot of things around the world for us were changing, and our awareness of that was becoming more heightened. I've it's a lot to kind of like fold into the fabric of an album.
Mm.
but that's definitely spurred a lot of action around how I might go about making quite like textural kind of music that is quite driving at the same time. Someone called it like danceable melancholy the other day. I was like, this might be me. That might be me. Yeah,
I like that. That's good. It definitely suits the mood. I think you're right. There is a lot. A lot happens in 6 years, but also a lot has very specifically happened in the last few years in your personal life and across the world. And processing that through music feels like quite a necessary thing for you. How did you approach actually creating this record?
Definitely. It's like making music is just basically how I grapple with the universe at large. But the main important like kind of point of difference about this record was that I made it a much more of a collaborative process. I think for my previous like solo works, I've been like, yeah, it's a solo album. I get to basically be a total dictator and and everything I say goes. But this time around, I was like, I really actually just want to invite more people into the fold and and do some improvisation and really like kind of substitute a lot of the instruments that I was like writing on for arrangements for other people to play. So yeah, as a result, there's not really many like obvious like piano or like guitar kind of instruments that really are the backbone for all the songs. I've been worked out and rearranged. Yeah,
that's so interesting. And I think it's interesting because there's been a lot of albums that have come out of, I guess, the pandemic time that have been deliberately collaborative. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that when you're not able to see your friends and your peers, you really realize how much that community means. Did you have a very strong idea of who you wanted to work with, or were you looking for people that would fit the particular idea of a track? How did that, like, you know, chicken and egg, what came first, I guess?
Yeah. No, I've always been fascinated with like bringing like people into the recording sessions, but I think like for this album in particular, it was quite like, this album can't exist unless I do this on a bigger scale, and it will really be the sort of driving force of it for me personally. Like if I sort of just tucked myself away in my studio and sort of chipped away on these songs and got like far too down the rabbit hole with them, I probably would have like given up. But pulling all these different kind of like talents into the mix is really what kept it fresh and kind of exciting for me to keep working on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the tracks that we've been playing a lot and that has really stood out to me is Day Moon with Sandhu Indhu on it. Yeah. This track's got quite a lovely poetry to the title as well. Can you tell us a wee bit about this song, Grayson?
Sure. Yeah, I think there's a sort of a duality thing that me and Sandra, her real name's Sandra.
Nice.
I still sometimes struggle to call this that Sandhu Indhu. That's her kind of alter ego. Known her for years as Sandra, so Sandra it'll be for me. But yeah, it's a sort of a duality that we were kind of exploring with like the way that we present ourselves, sometimes being at odds with the way that we are inside. So yeah, it's this whole kind of like just life phasing in and out of good and bad situation. That is sort of woven into this song. And really cool to sort of work with a friend on the vocals of a track, and also a friend who's based over in the States. Just, you know, and I guess another one of those things that happened throughout the pandemic was just like this, it doesn't really matter where we are in the world kind of attitude. We can kind of work together. So yeah, it was great to work with her on a track. I think the last time we hung out was like 8 years ago.
That is so special. And kind of a weird silver lining to everything is I think it has pushed people's thinking like laterally. People are like, oh yeah, actually that person who lives in this completely other part of the globe, actually there's nothing really stopping us from making a song together except thinking about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's funny, I do a lot of freelance work, and half of that, if not most of it, is kind of like overseas. So I'm always working in sort of different weird little time zones. And I was like, why is this something that's like, that hasn't been brought into my own music making? I should just be working.
Yeah, totally.
Anywhere, really, yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful record, Grayson. Thank you so much for speaking with us about it. Out now via Flying Nun in all formats and in all places. And I'm excited to see it live. You have got some gigs in the future. What can you tell us about those?
Yeah, sure. We'll be up in Auckland on December 9th playing at Wine Cellar, and Motta Anita is opening the show for us. It's been ages since I've seen her play live, so I'm really excited about seeing her perform just as much as I am to share my own music, really.
Oh, that's super exciting. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. We are going to listen to Day Moon now. Have a really fantastic rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Rachel. You do the daily daydream.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.